Thyself are met with, even now Thou in myriad countless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
To the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. When I was a new monk, and very new to training, when I did my first session at the Abbey, as I sat there day after day, I kept having hatred come up that had kind of been stewing in me for months previously. It was focused on one particular individual. And Ribbon Master at that time saw everyone who wanted to see her during the retreat for Sanzen, and I asked to see her, and I went in to the room where she's doing the Sanzen, and I sat down, and I burst into tears, and I just blurted out, I don't want to keep hating so-and-so. And Ribbon Master just sat there till I quieted down. Then she just said, very quietly, she said that things that that individual had done, he was responsible for. She didn't say that in these words, but this is what it came out to. And that things that I had done, I'm responsible for. And that's all she said. And I went back and sat, and that hatred wasn't in my heart anymore. And that was my first experience in my whole life of Sangha. It was also where I really began to learn what I'm still learning and will be learning for the rest of my life about the limits of my own responsibility, what my real responsibility is spiritually, and what its limits are. Reverend Master used to say, Sangha, which she usually translated as contrition or contrition and conversion, but she used to say that Sangha is self-forgiveness. And one of the things that this little story illustrates is how difficult it is to forgive ourselves for something when we are not yet able to really admit to ourselves that we're doing it or that it exists within us. And there's so many different ways in which we avoid this simple truth about ourselves. Since that time, I mean, I suppose one could describe 40 years, almost 40 years of training very simply in terms of learning what it is to forgive oneself. And practicing self-forgiveness. When one reads some of the Mahayana scriptures, one sees a strange way of, what seems to be a strange way of looking at the world at times, expressed in words. sometimes the scriptures say that everything is actually a manifestation. All the phenomena of the world are a manifestation of one's own mind. And you look at that and wonder, you know, what is this saying? Well, I'd like to suggest that one thing it might be saying is something that the Zen masters have always emphasized, that the whole world is a mirror for us to see ourselves in, to look at ourselves in. And so often, the things that we think we are reacting to are only triggered by external events, but what we're really reacting to in the deepest sense is something within ourselves that we are reminded of in that external event. And one learns this when one actually sees in detail the working of causality. When one sees how that act of self-judgment is so easily triggered by so many different events, it might seem a bit of a stretch to say that the cause of all clinging is really self-judgment. But this is actually true. When one feels betrayed by another person, for example, and one resents that other person, and believes oneself to have been hurt by that other person, and one can't eradicate that resentment and that grievance out of one's heart and one's mind, one would be closer to the truth if one could turn it around and say, I can't forgive myself for being betrayed. Forgive myself for allowing myself to be injured. Because in the end, that's how it actually works out. In the end, we are the victims of our own self-judgment. We're both the perpetrator and the victim, therefore. And we can only cut through the whole thing through self-forgiveness, through Sangha. And the beginning of Sangha is, as Reverend Master so often used to say, to sit up straight in the presence of the Buddhas and ancestors and simply admit, this is what I am thinking. This is what I have been doing. This is what I did. This is what I feel. Not so-and-so did this to me, and I have a right to feel this. And not, I'm wicked, bad, and nasty for feeling this. Simply, this is what I feel. This is what I think. This is the beginning of self-forgiveness. How can we let it go if we won't admit to ourselves that it's there? This is why I tell people here, you know, if you're suffering, don't put a happy face on it. Now, don't try to force yourself to be something you're not. while you are suffering, just work at being still and looking up within that suffering. It won't go away just because you put some kind of shell over it. It won't go away just because you want it to go away. This is to train in self-acceptance. To train in self-forgiveness is to train in turning the wheel of compassion within. And it leads one, because of the depth of the suffering that is revealed within ourselves when we do this, it leads one to cry out for help. And until there is that cry from the heart for help, we are, whether we know it or not, still playing God within our own heads. When we see the horrors and miseries of the world around us, we have a choice. We can recognize the potential for this is within me as well. I'm someone who could rob and murder and rape and steal, deceive. I'm someone who can be cruel. All that I see in another is potentially within myself. And we will not be overwhelmed by the depth of misery and horror in the world if we are not overwhelmed by our own potential for it. Ourselves. The world is a mirror within which we see how we have been, something of how we are now, and how we might be. If we are fortunate enough to see a Buddha in any person, in any being, in any situation, that is a mirror for us of our own potential for Buddhahood, of our own actual Buddha nature. When River Master pointed out to me that the other individual who I was feeling the hatred for was responsible for his training and I was responsible for my training, she once again pointed out what I'd already heard her say and heard her say many times thereafter, that we can only do our own training. We cannot do the training of another person. Again and again she hammered into us when I was a young monk, just do your own training. Just stay focused on your training. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. Don't worry about your family, your friends. Let them do their training. You do your training. Don't try to play God. It's all anyone can do to just do their training. Of courses shouldn't be interpreted to mean that you're an irresponsible person. You know, if you're a parent, it's part of your training to provide some guidance for your children. If you're a priest, it's part of your training to provide guidance and teaching for your congregation. If you're a master, it's part of your training to provide teaching when asked for, by the way, for those who come to you for teaching. And you're not responsible for what they do. Each man his karma makes and must carry for himself. As soon as we take the least little step down the road of trying to improve another person or change another person, we've set the wheel in motion that can roll right over us. A wheel that's easy to set in motion and very hard to stop. The flip side of this is that whether anyone else in the world trains, whether anyone else in the world finds the eternal or not, that's not my problem. I can do so. If I train myself, my training is not fundamentally dependent on anyone else. And this is incredibly liberating. To realize this. The world is as it is, full of beings just like you and me, doing the best they can, and sometimes making an incredible mess of it, just like you and I do at times. If there's any difference, it's only a difference of magnitude. It's not a fundamental difference in type or in kind. There's one and only one person whose training I can do. That person is me, and the training is my training. As Dogen said, when I enter the kingdom of death, I enter with just my own good and bad karma. No one's going with me. There's no refuge in friends, family. At that point, if I do not know the refuge of the eternal, I'm lost. This also means, of course, that there is no such thing as vengeance or an eye for an eye in Buddhism. Each of us makes our own karma and gets the consequence of our actions. Those consequences are inexorable. They're not subject to our personal will. And they're highly educational. It's important that we not waste our time looking around on the playground at what the other kids are doing and fretting over what a mess they're making of it. Each of us is responsible for our own mess. Master was, of course, a very great teacher with many disciples, both monastic and lay, and someone who was respected and admired by people all over the world. Simply cannot imagine how much she didn't care about any of that. She used to say, "I'm in this for me and one other person." And you could see in the way she lived her life that she meant that. She did not expect anything of other people, and therefore she accepted them as they were and saw the Buddha within them as they were. And she trained herself every day to do this. She had great confidence in her own Buddha nature, her own certainty of the eternal. And she genuinely didn't care if anyone else came along with her on the spiritual journey that she had undertaken. If you wanted to go with her, she's happy to have you along. But you were really mistaken if you thought she needed you in any real sense. That's what it is to be a spiritual adult. We're here in this lifetime, in this body and mind, for an incredibly short time, the blink of an eye. It's a pity if we waste that time due to our failure to understand where our real responsibilities lie and our refusal to accept the limits of what we can really do in this life. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the world. Homage.